In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God, on this, the 50th day after Easter, we welcome and remember the gift of the Holy Spirit and pray that your advocate, the Paraclete, the Spirit, might be upon us and breathe life into our witness to your faith. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. A little over 200 years ago, a delightful little Canadian thinker put together a treatise. He wrote this little essay, and he said, one of the things that we do as human beings is what we do when we remember people who were important in our lives, we have a tendency to remember them in fonder and fonder and fonder ways until, before long, what we've done is we've elevated them from being a human to being someone who has a divine, godlike status. Now, we've definitely done that with the disciples. I remember growing up in a congregation, and behind the altar, they had these different sconces, and each sconce, there was a picture, a portrait of a different disciple painted. And the disciples looked superhuman. The disciples looked exceedingly serious. It gave you the impression that they were not really people like you and I, but rather, they were people who were a step above. Now, that kind of misses the point. Because you see, the point of Jesus calling the disciples was that they were people, fallible people, just like you and I, who were called to participate in God's creative and recreative work in the world, just like you and I. To make the disciples into something more than they were is also to miss the point that the disciples really had no idea what they were in for. When they answered the call, follow me, many of them came with all sorts of different rationales. We know that the reason why Peter, James, and John followed Jesus was they believed that Jesus, this descendant of King David, was headed toward Jerusalem to overthrow the government, to kick out Herod, to kick out the Romans, and to reestablish the reign of King David. And they wanted to be in on the ground floor. They wanted literally to sit at his left hand and at his right hand as he ruled a new and reinvigorated nation in all righteousness. We know that the disciples, they had other reasons also. St. Matthew was called from a life in which he was really on the periphery of society, and Jesus offered him a new life, a new way, a resurrected way of being in the community. And so the disciples came to Jesus with all different rationales. And like I said, they really didn't know what they were in for. Every time they thought that they had gotten to the point where they wanted to be with Jesus, Jesus would pull the rug out from under them and send them in a new direction. For instance, back to Peter, James, and John. Remember, they went up the Mount of the Transfiguration. And there at the top of the mountain, they had a literal mountaintop experience. And they saw Jesus transfigured before them in all of his Old Testament glory. And they thought, this is the end of the story. We're going to stop right here. We're going to build three temples and we're going to live here in perpetual bliss forever and ever. But before they could enact that plan, a voice comes from heaven and Jesus leads them right back down into the valley. When they enter Jerusalem, they think, this is it. The time has finally come for the kingdom to be fulfilled. And they begin to ask Jesus about his apocalyptic predictions over and over. Is this the time? Are we finally going to get to rule? No, only the Father knows the days and the times. You just hang tight. And that's what they do. When Jesus is crucified, they believe it's the end. But then comes the news of the resurrection, and they have no idea what to make of that. Then in the wake of the news of the empty tomb, the risen Christ appears to them over and over and over. They still don't know. The risen Christ then takes them out 40 days after Easter, outside of Bethany, and there he is assumed into heaven, another Old Testament account that fits well with, say, the Assumption of Enoch and Moses. And now they're told that they should go and wait. They still don't know what's in store for them. But before they can say anything, God sends the Spirit that he has told them about over and over and over, and that Spirit animates them, and the thing that they thought they would never do, they accomplish. They're sent out into the known world with the message of the resurrection, and they go to the corners of the world being animated by the Spirit. Now, Josie, Lauren, PJ, Will, your life will be a lot like this. God will call you in new directions. When you were baptized, you didn't know what you were getting in for, literally. When you were born, your parents didn't know what they were getting in for, right? But nevertheless, God through the Spirit has guided you and leads you all to these days of faith, so that at times like this, you might get up before the congregation and you might confess faith in the faith that the church entrusted your parents and the congregation with when you were born. You still don't know what you're getting yourself into. You come with all different reasons, just as all of us did. Talk to your parents. Why did your parents make the trip from the pew to the front of the church to confess their faith in front of other people? There's probably 100 different stories out there. But God still continues to guide you. And God will lead you down a path as you grow and mature and as you live your life that will take many unexpected turns. Raise your hands. How many people here are actually doing the job they thought they would be doing when they were in eighth grade? Anyone? Okay, one. Anyone else? No? Many of us were expecting to do very different things, but God leads us in all sorts of different directions. So even though you don't know it, you're walking in the footsteps of the disciples. Even though you don't know it, the Spirit that God has commanded to be upon the church is upon you and leading you in ways that you might recognize in retrospect years down the road. So today, as we gather, as you kneel, as we pray for the gifts of the Spirit, as your parents and your confirmation instructors place their hands upon your heads, know that we still hold you in our care and we still hold you in prayer. For God is not finished with you yet. This might seem like an end, but the funny thing about endings in the New Testament is that God always turns them into segues and portals into new realities. For God calls us in different directions. So today, let us rejoice as we celebrate with these young adults who come before us to confess their faith. And let us pray that the Spirit might be upon them forever. Amen.